she wanted in order to get her to come home with me tonight. Look, I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I haven't been able to stop thinking about being inside of you for 2 days. You're still getting over the asshole. I'm not looking for anything serious. We have an expiration date in our future, whether we like it or not. One of us is getting shipped off to Texas. We can either spend the next month or so being frustrated and pissing each other off at the office, or we can spend that time being pissed off at Foster, Burnett, and Wren for putting us in this situation while taking our frustrations out on each other in a productive manner at night. I vote for the latter. She sucked in her bottom lip while she kicked it around for a minute. So during the day, if a client were both pitching gave me some inside information on the direction they wanted to go, and then you found out I didn't share that with you, you wouldn't be pissed. Hell yes, I'd be pissed, but that's the beauty of our situation. I'd be pissed as shit that you got an advantage over me. So the next morning, you might have a little trouble walking from me taking out that frustration on you. Let's face it, it would give me an excuse to paddle that ass I've been dreaming about paddling since the first day I saw you. But I'm competitive, not an asshole. So you can bet I'd make it work for you, too. Annalise swallowed. And if the situation were reversed? If I find out something you did that upsets me? Then I'll lick you until you're not pissed off anymore, and probably try to piss you off again the next day. She laughed. You're making this sound so simple, but it's way more complicated than that. I took her hands in mine. Well, there is one catch.
What's that?
It's going to be difficult for you not to fall for me.
God, you're such an ass.
I leaned in. An ass that you have a shitload of chemistry with, like it or not. So what do you say? By day we fight like enemies, by night we fuck like warriors. She looked me in the eyes.
I really hope I don't regret this.
My eyes went wide. I hadn't expected her to say yes, though I was prepared to wear her down. At the end of the day, we only regret the things we missed out on doing. So I'll make sure we do it all. Annalise's friend walked back over.
You two look cozy. Now you come to interrupt. Where were you 5 minutes ago when I had a temporary lapse of sanity and agreed to the crazy deal this lunatic just proposed?
Madison smiled at her.
You need a good dose of insanity. Plus, we're running out of stuff to talk about after 25 years of friendship. This will give us all new material for our weekly dinners.
Annalise leaned over and kissed Madison's cheek.
It certainly will.
I'd wanted Annalise to myself from the moment I'd walked in. Not that I didn't have a good time, because, surprisingly, I did. Her friend Madison was a straight shooter, and her date was a decent guy, too. But now they'd just said goodbye, and Annalise and I stood outside the winery, just the two of us, as they pulled away. The dirt that kicked into the air from the tires hadn't even settled yet when I had her face in my hands. I kissed her softly at first, but I couldn't stop myself, and it didn't take very long before it turned hard and heated. She moaned into my mouth, and I had to force myself to pull back before it was too late, and I ended up fucking her against a tree for her parents to walk out and see. I brushed my thumb over her swollen lips. Come home with me.
I can't,
she frowned.
I told my mom I'd stay over tonight. Tomorrow morning I take the ride with her to go deliver free bottles of the new season's wine to some of her biggest customers. Mateo cooks a huge brunch, and all the pickers and workers come to eat. We started doing that the first year they bought the place, and it stuck as a tradition.
That sounded nice, but I was selfish, so I couldn't even hide my pout.
Aw, she stroked my cheek. You look like I used to at Christmas when I opened all my new toys, and then my mom made me put them away because company was coming over.
I locked my hands behind her back. I definitely want to play with my new toy.
I think we should establish a few ground rules anyway, she said.
Uh-oh, rules always get me in trouble. She smiled.
I bet they do. But I think we need a few.
Like what?
Well, like, I don't think we should make it public at work that anything is going on between us, not even to our friends.
I nodded. Makes sense.
And when we're together outside of the office, no talking about work projects where we're competitors.
Agreed.
Okay, well, that was easy. You're not usually so agreeable.
I also have a few of my own ground rules I'd like to establish. Annalise raised a brow.
You do you?
Yep.
Okay.
Unless one of us ends things before the expiration date, we're monogamous.
I guess that was a given for me, but good. I'm glad you put it out there anyway. Anything else?
Are you on the pill?
I am, yes.
Then let's get rid of the condoms. I had my annual physical a few weeks ago. Clean as a whistle. If it feels that good inside of you wearing them, I need to find out what the hell it feels like without. She leaned in and pressed her breasts against me, looking up.
Bear, okay.
What time is brunch over tomorrow?
Probably by 3.
Come straight to my house after. I'll make us dinner and eat you for dessert. She looked up from under those long eyelashes and ran her tongue across her top lip.
What about my dessert?
I groaned. You're killing me, Texas.
Chapter 30. I stood with my mouth hanging open, looking out at the view. Since Bennett and I didn't live far from each other, I'd assumed he also lived in a 500-square-foot apartment and sacrificed space for the nice neighborhood. But West Hill Towers, at least the apartment I was currently standing inside of, didn't sacrifice anything. His open kitchen and living room area was probably twice the size of my entire apartment. And when I looked outside my window, I saw the building next to me. Bennett had a million-dollar view of the bay and the Golden Gate Bridge with the mountains as a backdrop. He brought me a glass of wine and stood alongside of me as I gawked at the sight. Do you rob banks on the side? The corner of his lip twitched. He lifted his wine glass to his mouth. I'm too pretty to go to prison. Sugar mama? He shook his head. Win the lotto? More head shaking. He could have just told me what the deal was. He knew me well enough to know it wasn't likely I'd be letting the subject go without an answer. Rich parents? You do wear some expensive suits and shoes. My father was a postman. My mom was a secretary at a law firm. I know that on average, men tend to make more than women in the same jobs, but this... I held up my hands toward his view. This would be a little insane. Bennett set his wine down on a nearby bookcase, then took mine out of my hand and set it next to his. He hooked both arms around my waist. You didn't kiss me hello. I guess I got distracted by the view. His eyes raked up and down my body. I'm pretty distracted by the view at the moment. My stomach got that squishy feeling. He leaned in. Kiss me. I rolled my eyes as if it were a burden to plant my lips on this beautiful man, and then leaned in for a quick peck hello. Only when I went to pull back, Bennett tangled his hand in my hair and didn't let me. My hasty kiss turned into way more than hello. Bennett's other hand slid down to my ass, and he pulled me flush against him. I felt the prod of his erection against my belly. Well, hello there. He broke the kiss with a tug of my bottom lip between his teeth. I was breathless. Hi, I said. His mouth curved into a smile. He pushed my wayward hair behind my ear. Hey, beautiful. We stared at each other, grinning like two goofy teenagers who'd just made out for the first time. Bennett used his thumb to wipe smeared lipstick from my bottom lip. I had an accident a long time ago. Got a big settlement. Invested part of the money to buy this place. It took me a second to realize what he was even talking about. His kiss had left me dazed. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope no one was too hurt. Bennett handed me back my wine. I better check on the pasta. While he went back to the kitchen, I snooped around. The floor-to-ceiling windows in the living room were the decoration in his apartment, so he didn't need much else. His furnishings were nice, dark and masculine, and he had a gigantic curved screen TV in the living room. The only real sense of who Bennett Fox was had to come from his bookshelves. I perused the titles, an odd mix of political nonfiction, hardcover thrillers, and some well-worn comic books. There were 4 small framed photos, 2 of which were Lucas, one in a soccer uniform with half of his front teeth missing in his smile, and one that looked more recent of him and Bennett on a boat. They seemed to have a very strong bond. There was another of Bennett and an older woman on what looked like his college graduation day. I turned and found Bennett watching me from the open kitchen. Your mom? He nodded. Graduate school graduation. I looked more closely at the photo and could see the resemblance. You look like her. She looks very proud here. She was. I went off the rails for a year, the month I started grad school. Dropped out. I'm pretty sure she never expected I'd get back on track and finish. Oh, now I'm curious. I expect to hear more about that crazy year at some point. Bennett's face turned solemn. It's not a year I'm proud of. Feeling the need to change the subject, I put the photo of his mom back and picked up the last frame. It was a girl, probably about 17 or 18, leaning against a car and smiling. She was pretty. Your sister? I asked, even though I remembered he'd once mentioned he was an only child. Bennett shook his head. Friend. Lucas's mother. He'd said Lucas's mother died a long time ago, so I didn't push. Instead, I looked down and studied the photo. Her son looked exactly like her. Wow, he's like her little mini-me. Bennett dumped water into the sink from a steaming pot. He's becoming a little wise-ass just like her, too. I set the photo back down and walked to the bar stools tucked under the living room side of the kitchen counter to watch him cook. Are you any good? He arched a brow. You tell me. Get your mind out of the gutter, Fox. I was referring to your cooking. My mother's Italian, so I can make a few things. Growing up, she worked full-time. When I was little, she would pre-make 5 different meals on Sundays for me to stick in the oven during the week, since she worked a lot of overtime. I hung around and helped her. Eventually, she stopped having to spend a full day in the kitchen every weekend because I picked up how to make some stuff and started to cook for us after school. That's sweet. But my forte is dessert. I can't wait to feed you what I have planned for later. And that sweet didn't last very long, although I loved his unique combination of sweet and dirty. When we sat down to dinner, it smelled delicious. My mouth actually watered, even though I'd eaten a full brunch not that long ago. I figured it would be good. Bennett wasn't the type of man who did anything half-assed. But I hadn't expected him to be modest. His spaghetti carbonara was out of this world. This is orgasmic. I pointed my fork at my plate after swallowing my second mouthful. Madison would give you 5 stars if she ate here. He smiled, rather than gloat like he normally did at every opportunity. Thank you. I got the feeling I might discover that Bennett, outside of the office, was very different than the man I'd gotten to know at work. Different in a good way. And for some reason, that made me nervous. It was easier to imagine having a fling with the hot jerk I worked with. I didn't need to find things to like about him, other than his body.
So how were your deliveries this morning and the brunch?
Good. Except I was trapped in a car for hours with my mother, and the only thing she wanted to talk about was you showing up at the tasting last night. He grinned.
She has good taste.
I sighed. At least she's stopped asking if I've heard from Andrew. Bennett's fork had been on the way up to his mouth, and he froze.
Have you?
He sent me a text the night after we met for dinner at the hotel, but I didn't respond, and he hasn't bothered again. Bennett shoved a fork full of pasta into his mouth.
Fuck him, douche.
I couldn't help but smile. I loved how defensive he'd been about Andrew from the get-go. Anyway, how was your day?
Had trouble falling asleep last night, so I got a late start. Just went to the gym, and then worked until right before you got here.
Do you usually have trouble falling asleep? He looked up from twirling his pasta.
Only when I have blue balls.
That had been some kiss last night.
Couldn't you just jerk off?
Yeah, that.
Didn't help.
The thought of him pleasuring himself because of the effect I had on him gave me a burst of feminine confidence. Tell me about it. I slept at my mom's. My hand doesn't work half as well as my vibrator. Bennett dropped his fork with a loud clank.
Are you saying you masturbated while thinking of me last night?
I gave him a teasing smile and nodded. 5 seconds later, I was up and out of my seat. Bennett tossed me over his shoulder, fireman style.
It's time for dessert.
I giggled. But we didn't finish dinner yet.
Fuck dinner. I'll fill your mouth.
This is even delicious cold, I said with a mouthful of pasta. I had no idea what time it was, but the sun had long disappeared. We'd spent the entire evening in bed, and now we were passing a bowl of cold pasta back and forth while naked in his bedroom.
You're easy to please, he wiggled his brows. And I mean that in a few different ways.
It did feel like Bennett had no problem pleasing me. My body had never been so responsive. Don't get me wrong, I hadn't been with that many men to experiment. In fact, I could count them all on one hand, including the man sitting next to me. But you'd think that after all the years with Andrew, he'd have been better at pushing my buttons than a guy I'd only spent two nights with. Is sex always good for the women you're with? He stopped with a fork halfway to his mouth.
Are you asking me if I'm good in bed? Because let's face it, no guy is going to say no to that question, even if he needs a roadmap to find a clit.
I laughed. I just meant, is sex always like that for you? He set the pasta bowl on the end table and finished chewing.
You want to know if sex is always good for me, because you're not sure if it's me, us, or whether that moron you wasted 8 years with is just a useless dud in bed? Sort of, I guess. It's all of the above. I haven't had any complaints. But I enjoy a woman feeling satisfied as much, if not more, than satisfying myself. So I'll put in the effort, watch her, figure out what makes her tick.
Oh, okay. I felt sort of crestfallen for some reason. Bennett put two fingers under my chin and lifted so our eyes met.
You didn't let me finish. But there's a difference between good sex and whatever the hell happens when I'm inside of you. We've got chemistry, Texas. And no amount of paying attention or hard work can take the place of that. So, my answer is, yeah. I like to think sex has been satisfying for me and the women I've been with. But what we've got going on? No, it isn't always like that.
My heart did a little flutter. Okay. He leaned in and kissed my cheek.
And to answer the last part of your question, you've been deprived, sweetheart. I don't know much about Douche Boy, except that he was planning on using you and doesn't like to go down on a woman who clearly enjoys it. And those two things are enough to tell me the dickhead is selfish. And yeah, he wasn't good in bed at all. So you were deprived. Easy to please after that idiot.
Bennett got up from the bed, and for the first time I got a good look at his naked body from head to toe. His shoulders were broad and thick, his muscular arms sculpted even without flexing, and he had more like an 8-pack than a 6. And I finally got a good look at the tattoo I'd seen peeking out that day in the office. IVIIMMXI, with a dark vine snaking around the letters. I knew the Roman numeral I translated to 1 and V was 5, so 5 minus 1 would be the 4th month, April 2nd, 8 years ago. Obviously, the date was important if he had it permanently inked on his body. Bennett turned and picked up the bowl of pasta we'd shared, and I spotted a long scar running down the left side of his abdomen. It ran from under his rib cage to just below his belly button. His skin was naturally tanned, so I almost didn't notice it.
I need a drink, he said,
completely oblivious to my following what felt like a trail of clues all over his body.
You want a water or a soda or something? Wine, maybe?
I'd love a water, thank you. I guzzled half the bottle when he returned. All that heavy breathing must have dried out my throat. We hadn't spoken about sleeping arrangements, so I hadn't brought any clothes. And I'd been up late last night helping my mom clean up after the party, and then up early this morning to get on the road for her deliveries. Apparently my mind and body were in sync because I yawned. I should probably get going soon. Bennett had one hand behind his head, casually lying in bed as if he were fully clothed rather than stark naked with everything on display. He reached out with his free hand and pulled me over to him, positioning my head on his chest.
Stay over. I know you're probably tired. I promise to let you sleep. But we can shower together in the morning.
I smiled with my cheek against his breastbone. I don't have any clothes.
You're not going to ever need any here.
He stroked my hair.
In fact, I'd say it's a pretty safe bet you'll mostly be naked when we're at my place.
I meant for work tomorrow.
I can take you home now to pick something up, if you want. Or if not, go home early tomorrow morning and get dressed for the office. I'll go for a run while you do that, so you don't feel like I have an unfair advantage getting to the office before you.
My head wanted to argue. It would probably be best if we just fooled around and didn't start slumber parties. But my body was in total disagreement. I guess I could do that. Stop at my house in the morning, I mean.
Good. Then it's settled.
I'll set the alarm extra early for a nice long shower. My body started to relax, and his seemed to, too. I'd been scraping my fingers along the smattering of hair on his chest, and I started to trace the scar on his abdomen. Bennett's muscles tensed when he realized what I was doing. I tilted my head to look up at him. "Is this from your accident?" He nodded.
"My spleen was removed, ruptured from impact."
"Wow, that must have been some accident." The muscle in his jaw flexed.
"Yeah."
"How old were you?"
22.
I leaned my head down and kissed the scar, intending to trail a line of kisses from top to bottom, but Bennett's curt voice stopped me.
"Don't."
I froze.
"Okay."
Settling my head back on his chest, I suddenly felt really awkward. "Sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. I was just thinking of something my grandmother used to say. Scars are the maps to the story of where we've been." He stayed quiet for a long time. When he finally spoke, his voice was low.
"Not every scar leads to a story with a happy ending, Annalise."
"Okay," I said softly. "I'm sorry."
For the next hour or so, neither of us said a word. I wondered if he regretted asking me to stay. Even though I was exhausted, I couldn't fall asleep. I thought it might be better if I just went home. But if he'd fallen asleep, I didn't want to wake him.
"Bennett?" I whispered. He didn't respond, so I carefully pulled back the covers and tried my best not to make the bed jiggle around so he wouldn't wake. I'd gotten as far as sitting up when his voice startled me.
"Where are you going?"
"Shit, you scared me. I thought you were asleep."
"You were going to try to sneak out?"
"No. Yeah. I thought maybe it would be better if I went home." He pulled me back down to his chest, hugging my shoulder tight to him.
"It wouldn't."
"Are you sure?"
"You're a nice girl. A nice woman. I like you here. But if I tell you that some of my scars aren't healable on the inside, you're going to try to heal me."
"And something is wrong with that?"
"Some scars don't deserve to be healed. But that doesn't mean I want you to go home. Get some sleep, babe."
Chapter 31. "The board has selected the last of the accounts that the two of you will be reviewed on," Jonas said. "It's a new account to both of you, so I think you'll be as happy as you could be under the circumstances."
"That's great. What kind of an account is it?" Annalise asked.
At the same time, she also uncrossed and recrossed her legs, so I lost track of the conversation. It didn't help that I knew she had no underwear on under that skirt. After an hour-long fuckfest in the shower this morning, I'd gone for a run while she went home to get dressed. We happened to pull up for work at the exact same time, and both of us had to park in the lot down the street rather than the usual spots we snagged near the building when we were early. She texted me from her car, asking me to walk ahead so people wouldn't suspect anything when we walked in at the same time. I'd thought it was overkill, but I'd soon realized she was full of shit and why she really needed the minute alone. The doors to the elevator I'd entered had started to slide closed when Annalise strolled into the building lobby. Instead of letting it go and taking the next car, she waved and yelled from the door, "Hold the elevator, please!" There were a few other people in the car already, and a woman from accounting pressed the open button.
"Thanks."
Annalise rushed in and stood next to me. Trying to follow her request that no one at work find out about us, I acknowledged her with a simple nod and faced forward. She, on the other hand, went out of her way to address me in front of people.
"Bennett."
She held out a brown paper bag.
"I think you might have dropped something getting out of your car in the parking lot."
Her face didn't give anything away, but I caught the twinkle in her eye. What the hell was she up to? I took the bag, even though I hadn't dropped it.
"Yeah, I did, thanks."
At our floor, she exited the elevator first, giving me a fine view of her swaying ass as I followed her down the hall. Curious, I walked into my office and ripped open the brown paper bag. A note sat on top of balled-up red lacy fabric. The thong was still warm. "Don't let these distract you today, or the fact that I took them off in the car." I'd laughed, thinking she was being cute. But now I realized I truly was fucking distracted. Was it me, or did she look even more fuckable today than usual? How far was the closest motel from the office? I wondered if she'd be up for a quickie at lunch. That thought had been still rolling through my head when Jonas had given the name of the new account, Pet something or other. But the change in Annalise's tone brought me back from fantasy land. She sounded apprehensive. Pet Supplies and More, the online company based in San Jose? That's the one, Jonas said. Are you familiar with them? She sighed, glanced over at me, and then back to Jonas.
Yes, I am.
I squinted. You've pitched them before? Annalise shook her head and spoke to Jonas.
Trent and Lauren Becker, right?
Jonas nodded. Yes, that's them. Have you worked with them before? Something about Annalise's reaction was off. She didn't seem excited that she knew them, when that could be a clear advantage.
No, I haven't. How did the RFP come in?
Our CEO got a call from their CEO.
Oh, okay. Lauren may not even know I work here with the merger and all, but I can give her a call.
Why you? What kind of a game is she playing?
Because I know her.
I straightened my tie. Obviously not that well if she didn't call you for the RFP and doesn't even know you work here.
I'll make the call, Bennett. Don't worry your pretty little head. I won't try to exclude you from getting information, but we both know it's better for someone with a relationship to take the lead than someone without one.
I guess that depends on who is more competent. Annalise gave me the evil eye, then spoke to Jonas.
I've been to quite a few functions with Lauren and Trent.
If you know them so well, why haven't you pitched them before?
Because it was one of those things that at the time I thought it was best not to mix business with them.
What the hell was she being so shady about? At the time? And now it's okay to mix business with them? What's the deal, Annalise? She sighed and caught my eye before turning to Jonas.
Lauren is my ex's sister. The company was actually started by Lauren's grandparents 60 years ago, but she and her husband mostly run it now. I know them pretty well. Andrew and I were together for 8 years.
Great. So we're being judged on three accounts. One, the new creative director wants to get inside her pants, and another, the brother of the owner, has already been there. Bennett! Jonas scolded. You're walking a fine line. I know this job is important to you, and in a perfect world, the only advantage in landing an account would be that someone's pitch is better. So I'll cut you some slack for being upset. But I will not sit here and listen to you speak about Annalise in that way. I stood abruptly. Fine, then I'll leave. It sounds like Annalise will be heading this pitch with the Beckers anyway.
You've got to be kidding me.
The door shook as it slammed shut behind Annalise. I scrubbed my hands over my face and growled. Go back to your office. I'm not in the mood to argue, and I have work to do. She marched toward my desk.
You're acting like a child. I clearly had no idea this account pitch was coming in. I don't know what you're so angry about. I've proven that I play fair when it comes to clients I have a relationship with.
A relationship, huh? I scoffed. Thought you didn't have that relationship anymore. Annalise's brows drew down, and then a look of understanding crossed her face. She moved closer to me.
Is that what this is about, Andrew? I thought you were mad I had an advantage at work.
Unfamiliar feelings rattled my cage, making me feel like a locked-up lion. My first instinct was to strike out of the hold. Who, you fuck, isn't any of my business unless you're fucking me over at the same time? She looked hurt.
Who I fuck isn't any of your business? I thought we'd decided neither of us would be fucking anyone else.
I didn't want to feel bad. I was pissed. Fucking Andrew. If she wasn't in on it, that douche was playing some sort of a game. This wasn't a coincidence. He might not be good at going down on you, but I found out this morning you're a little pro at giving head. I'm sure you can take one for the team and drop to your knees to help land the account. She reared back and went in for a slap across my face. Only I caught her wrist before it landed.
Screw you, she seethed.
I flaunted a smug smile. Been there, done that. Her other hand came up and she attempted a lefty smack. That one was even easier to catch.
You're an asshole,
she glared at me, her chest heaving. Looking down, I noticed her nipples pointing through her shirt. I let my eyes linger so she would notice what had snagged my attention, and then raised them to meet hers. You must like assholes, then.
Go to hell,
she hissed. I'm already there, sweetheart. She looked back and forth between my eyes, and a wicked smile tugged at the corner of her lips. At least fucking Andrew might lead to something productive. I don't know what I was thinking wasting my time with you. I took a deep breath and felt like a bull letting steam out of its nose. Annalise was waving a red cape in the damn air, challenging me. That thought, the thought of a red cape, reminded me what she'd given me this morning. Moreover, what she wasn't wearing. I leaned into her, nose to nose. Do you enjoy screwing with me? Are you wet for me right now? Yup, I'd lost it. My dick hardened, and I needed to touch her no matter how insane it might seem. Her eyes went wide. Still holding her wrists, I tugged them up and lifted her arms into the air. Then I transferred both wrists into one hand and slipped the other under her skirt. Her pussy was warm and soft. If arguing with her was hell, this was heaven. I couldn't give her a chance to screw her head on straight and stop me, so without any warning, I went for it. I slipped two fingers inside her, and she gasped. My mouth came crashing down on hers, and I swallowed the tail end of a moan as I pumped my hand three quick times. When she arched her back and pushed into me, I assumed it was safe to let go of her wrists. I guided her to lean against the edge of my desk and drop to my knees. I needed to taste her so badly. It wasn't lost on me that we'd just been fighting about her anti-oral ex, and I'd chosen to go down on her. I just didn't give a fuck what, if anything, that meant at the moment. The only thing important to me right now was that I needed her to come in my mouth. I went at it like a storm, licking and sucking, burying my nose so deep inside of her, she started to ride my face. Some men say the sexiest thing a woman can do is to talk dirty or to submit to them, but they obviously haven't had their hair pulled and face ridden by a woman who currently hates their guts. Nothing fucking sexier in the world. When I slid two fingers back into her and sucked hard on her clit, she started to get loud. Thankfully, one of us remembered where we were. Obviously, I didn't give a fuck since I was eating a woman on my desk with an unlocked door. But I was with it enough to at least use my other hand to cover her mouth. After she went slack, I slowed my pace but stayed on my knees to enjoy a few more leisurely laps of her sweetness. Then I abruptly stood and wiped my face with the back of my hand. Annalise blinked a few times as if she was returning from another place, but she didn't attempt to budge. Clearly, she hadn't heard the noise the first time. I yanked her to her feet and pulled down her skirt in one swift motion. She looked confused until she heard the second knock at my office door.
Chapter 32. Shit. Bennett had pulled down my skirt, righted my blouse, and smoothed my hair before I even realized what the hell was happening. But he was so busy fixing me, he hadn't noticed what he looked like. Panicked as the door started to creep open, I picked up the nearest thing I could find and tossed it at the offending situation. Only, it happened to be a large coffee. As it connected with my target, the top came off, and the entire contents splashed all over Bennett's pants just as Jonas walked in. "What the fuck?" Bennett yelled. "I'm sorry, it was an accident." Jonas frowned and shut the door behind him.
"The two of you knock it the hell off. The entire office can hear you going at it. You sound like two cats fighting."
Bennett opened his top drawer, grabbed a wad of napkins, and blotted at his pants. "It's not what you think," I said. "We were arguing initially, yes, but then we found a mutually beneficial way to work through it. We were just about to call the client together when I knocked over Bennett's coffee, reaching for his desk phone." Jonas squinted. He looked like he didn't believe a word I said. But then Bennett backed me up, still wiping his soaked crotch.
"We got this, Jonas. I apologized for the stuff I said in your office, and we kissed and made up. The coffee was an accident."
He looked back and forth between the two of us, still not seeming entirely convinced.
"Maybe you two should take this out of the office. Go have a drink or eat something. Make friends. It's on me."
"Eat something," Bennett nodded. I caught the twitch at the corner of his lip, but luckily Jonas didn't seem to.
"Great idea. Thanks, Jonas."
Our boss grumbled something about being too old for this shit and left us alone in Bennett's office again. He even shut the door behind him.
"What the fuck?"
Bennett pointed down to his drenched slacks. "You had a wet spot,"
What? A giant wet spot. You know, the drizzle before the downpour. And an erection.
So your answer was to throw a full coffee at my dick rather than, I don't know, hand me a file to cover myself?
I started to laugh. I panicked. I'm sorry.
Guess I should be glad it wasn't hot anymore.
I covered my mouth but couldn't contain my smile. That was absolutely insane. Bennett's smile was smug.
That was fucking hot.
That can never happen again.
That's most definitely happening again.
You acted like such a dick.
Next time we fight, I'm going to push you down to the floor and feed you my dick. Right here in this office, door unlocked.
My stomach fluttered nervously. I had no doubt he would do it. And as insane as it was, the thought excited me, but I couldn't let him know that. I smoothed my skirt and took a step back.
You owe me an apology for the things you said this morning.
He smirked.
I thought I just gave you an apology, but I'm game to give you another one.
I mean it, Bennett. You can't act like a jealous boyfriend in the office.
I wasn't jealous.
He seemed genuinely confused by my comment. Did he really think what had just transpired was anything other than good old alpha male jealous behavior?
You weren't jealous? So what were you all pissed off about then?
He tossed the napkins he'd used to wipe down his pants into his waste paper basket.
It was about work. The playing field should be level for us.
I studied his face. God, he really had no idea.
Uh-huh.
His desk drawer was still open from when he'd taken out the napkins. I reached in and helped myself.
New superhero?
I arched a brow.
Give me that.
Bennett tried to swipe the notepad full of doodles from my hand, but I pulled it from his reach.
Looks sort of familiar.
His latest artwork featured a caricature with big hair and giant breasts. She looked exactly like me, with a cape, of course. He stepped closer and removed the pad from my hand.
You know what superpower this one has?
What?
The power to drive people fucking nuts.
I flaunted a goofy smile. You think I'm a superhero?
Don't let it go to your head, Texas. I draw plenty of cartoons.
I pointed to the doodle with the superhero leaning against a desk, her legs spread wide in a power stance. The only thing missing was Bennett's head between them.
Yes, but not all of your fantasies get to become reality.
I'd debated inviting Bennett to join me all day. What if my competition had been a 60-year-old, happily married man, instead of a 31-year-old, insanely sexy single guy who'd just happened to give me 3 orgasms this morning, 2 in his shower and the other on his desk? Would I play fair? Or was I giving away more than I should because I had a soft spot for Bennett Fox? And maybe liked his hard spot, too. Did I care how I won the battle, as long as I won? Unfortunately, I did care, and I knew I was the minority. In a cutthroat competition like this, most people would use every advantage to win the war. But it was important to me to win fair and square. It's just who I am. So at 4:05, I walked over to Bennett's office. He was nose deep in artwork, which he'd spread all over the table in the corner of his office. I knocked on the open door.
Do you have a minute?
He wiggled his brows.
That depends on what you have in mind.
Just come to my office in 5 minutes. I turned and walked back down the hall, but he appeared at the doorway of my office right on time. I motioned to the door.
Shut the door. I need to make a call on speaker.
Bennett smirked.
Sure you do.
The dumbass thought I'd invited him for a booty call. Rather than explain, I hit the speakerphone button and dialed. The assistant answered on the first ring.
Lauren Becker's office?
I looked at Bennett. His eyebrows rose.
Hi, this is Annalise O'Neill calling for Lauren. We spoke earlier today, and I scheduled a call for 4.
Yes, she's waiting for your call, Annalise. I'll put you right through.
Thank you.
She put the call on hold, and my gaze locked with Bennett's. I'm going to beat you, because I'm good at my job, not because of anything else. Bennett stared at me, his face unreadable. Lauren came on the phone 2 seconds later.
Anna?
I picked up the receiver.
Yes, hi, Lauren. How are you? God, it's been too long.
It has. I don't know if you're aware or not, but I work at Foster, Burnett, and Wren now. The 2 companies merged. I looked up at Bennett while I listened to her answer.
Oh, I said. Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure Andrew had told you. Thank you. I appreciate you including us on the RFP. Bennett's jaw flexed, and I stifled a sigh. I had no control over how the business had come our way, but I did have control over how I managed it. Lauren and I caught up for a minute, and then I cleared my throat. I hope you don't mind, but I invited a colleague to join me on this call. He just walked in. His name is Bennett Fox. After she said she didn't object, I put the phone back on speaker. The three of us then talked for a half hour about the RFP and what she was looking for. Toward the end of our call, I suggested we get together for dinner to discuss things further next week.
That would be great. I know Trent would love to see you too, she paused. What about Andrew? Should I see if he'd like to join us? He mentioned things had been tough since the merger and thought it might be a good time for us to finally work together.
Bennett looked as uncomfortable as I felt. If you don't mind, I'd prefer if you didn't. We aren't... I wasn't even aware he'd spoken to you about my change at work or asked you to include me in the RFP.
Lauren sighed. Yeah, I understand.
I had no idea what to expect from Bennett when I hung up, but what I got, I knew was sincere.
Thank you for including me.
I nodded. You're welcome. He took a few steps toward my office door and then turned back.
Why?
I wasn't sure I understood the question.
Why what?
Why do you want to win fair and square? Is it because of what's going on between us?
I actually thought about that earlier, I smiled. Don't flatter yourself. I'd be going about things the same way even if you were a 60-year-old happily married man.
Wow.
He shook his head.
And here I was thinking you were just a good person, but you'd let a 60-year-old married dude go down on you in his office?
That's not what I meant. Bennett winked.
I know. But let's pretend, so I don't have to admit you're a fuck of a lot better person than I am.
Chapter 33. Do you like Star Wars? I hit mute on SportsCenter and looked over at Annalise. She had three different newspapers spread out in sections all over my bed. I preferred my news in the form of CNN or ESPN, but over the last few weeks we had settled into a Saturday morning routine I liked. We'd have early morning sex, and then I'd go for a run while she made us breakfast. On the way home, I picked up three different newspapers, and after we ate, I'd watch SportsCenter while she read the papers for hours. Did I mention she cooked and read while wearing one of my t-shirts with no bra or underwear underneath? Yeah, so that's my favorite part. I slipped my hand under the hem of the white tee she had on and rubbed her thigh. I like Star Wars. I'm not one of those freaks who walk around dressed up as Yoda or Chewbacca at an annual convention of freaks, but I go see the movies. Why? Annalise shrugged. No reason. But something about her response, maybe it was too fast or too curt, told me she was full of shit. You're not one of those freaks, are you? Her cheek shaded pink. No, I'm not. I pointed to her face. Don't even try it, Texas. You're halfway to tomato already. She put down the paper. Fine. I used to like to dress up as Princess Leia. Her voice lowered. And maybe sometimes Isla Secura and Shakti. I laughed. Who?
Forget it.
Oh, no. You opened this can of worms. Now that I know you're a Star Wars dork, I want to know what I'm dealing with. Are we talking Halloween costumes only, lunchboxes, and you have the entire Klingon language memorized? Or full-on crazed fan who dresses up and goes to conventions. Klingon is Star Trek, not Star Wars. The fact that you know that tells me a lot. Annalise rolled her eyes. Why do I share anything with you? I laughed. Okay, I won't tease, my sexy little dork. What made you ask? She pointed to an article in the paper. I'm reading about movie merchandising that outperformed box office sales. Star Wars has had almost $35 billion in merchandising. Guess you have a lot of potential buddies out there in Dorkland. She whacked my stomach with the back of her hand. Shut up. You know there's a new land coming to Disneyland soon? Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Duh, I know. I can't wait.
This afternoon was my annual trip to Disney with Lucas. His birthday weekend was the only overnight trip Fanny allowed me. Every year, we drove down on Saturday afternoon and spent the night and the entire next day going on rides. Lucas always wrote up a list of the rides that were new each year, and this time one of them was Star Wars themed. "Do you go on rides at Disney?" I asked.
"I used to, but I haven't been in years."
I hadn't mentioned my trip with Lucas, yet I'd been toying with inviting her all week. "I'm actually driving up to Disney with Lucas this afternoon. It's his birthday this week, and we take an annual trip."
"Oh, that's awesome. You do such fun things with him."
I'd never really brought women around Lucas, mostly because the relationships I had didn't seem to fit with my weekly visits with him. I took women out to dinners where they wore nice dresses, and then I took them home, not fishing or go-kart racing. But Annalise and I were different. We spent hours working together every day, and when we weren't fighting or make-up fucking, we actually had a pretty good time sitting around doing nothing on mornings like this. Even though it had only been about a month, I'd gotten to know her far better than anyone I'd dated for 6 months. Plus, she'd liked the new Star Wars ride they'd put in. So now I felt almost obligated to invite her. It was the right thing to do. I clicked the muted TV off. "Why don't you come with us?" She looked as surprised as I was that I'd invited her.
"To Disney? With you and Lucas?"
"Yeah, why not? You can get your dork on at the new Star Wars ride, and Lucas will have someone to go on spinny shit with."
"You don't go on spinning rides?"
"Nope. In eighth grade, I was dying to make out with Katie Lanzelli. I took her to the town fair and had planned to suck her face on the Ferris wheel. Right before we went on, I went on the Gravitron. Puked my guts out after I got off. Couldn't very well subject her to kissing me after that. So I quit spinning rides that day." Annalise chuckled.
"Your perversion knows no limits. It even affects your trips to Disney."
"What do you say? Want to come?" I let my hand on her leg travel higher and stroked the sensitive skin on the inside of her thigh, right next to her lips. "I'd have to get you a separate room because of Lucas, but maybe I could get one next door so I could slip out after he falls asleep and slip inside of you."
"See? Pervert. All roads lead to and from sex," she smiled. "I'd love to go, but are you sure? I don't want to interrupt your time with Lucas."
The more we talked about it, the more I liked the idea of her coming. Positive. He'll be glad to have someone other than me to talk to, trust me. I looked at her. "Plus, I want you to come." Annalise lit up, practically glowed, as she nodded her head. Then she climbed on top of me, and I lit up too.
"What composer scored the songs in the movies?"
"Easy, John Williams."
Annalise wiped sprinkles off her lip with a napkin. Lucas looked down at his phone and swiped again. He'd been quizzing her with all the online trivia he could find since we'd gotten in the car this morning.
"What color was Luke Skywalker's lightsaber in the first two movies?"
"Blue."
"What about in Return of the Jedi?"
"Green."
I shook my head. "Why would they change the color of the lightsaber? And a better question, why do you know the answers to all this crap?" Annalise licked a drip from her ice cream cone, and my dick twitched. In the middle of fucking Disney.
"He lost the blue one in a duel with Darth Vader in Cloud City. There was a big uproar over the reason his lightsaber was green in Return of the Jedi. The original movie posters had him holding a blue saber. Some people say they changed the color because the fight scene background was a blue sky, while others think there's a deeper meaning, like the filmmakers trying to show Luke had become his own man."
I chuckled. "Ah, got it. So they wanted to sucker parents into buying more lightsabers by changing the color." Lucas was fascinated with Annalise's Star Wars trivia capability. Me, I didn't mind sitting around just watching the two of them, as long as she kept licking that ice cream cone. I was damn happy we'd gotten those adjoining rooms now. After we finished our dessert, we hit a few more rides before calling it quits for the night. It had been one long-ass day. Sex twice this morning, a long run, driving up to L.A., then going on a shitload of rides when we got here. But while I was wiped, Lucas and Annalise seemed to still have plenty of energy.
"Can we go in the pool?"
Lucas asked as we got off the tram at our hotel stop. I looked at my watch. "It's almost 9:30.
"So?"
he frowned. Annalise probably didn't even bring a suit. She grinned.
"Actually, I did."
"Please?"
Lucas shot me puppy dog eyes.
"I can take him if you're too tired."
"No, it's fine. I pointed at Lucas. A half hour, that's it.
Okay.
I grumbled to Annalise as Lucas ran ahead to the hotel's front door. It better at least be a bikini if I have to go into a Disney piss bucket. Her smile sparkled.
Complain all you want, but I see the truth in your eyes. You'd do anything that kid asked you to, and you love every minute of watching him enjoy himself.
She wasn't exactly wrong. Without thinking, I slid my hand into hers and finished the walk to the hotel lobby hand in hand. The screwed-up thing was, I had no idea I'd even done it. It just felt right. Annalise didn't seem to notice either, or if she did, she didn't say anything. Just the same, I let go to open the door and shoved my hands into my pockets after that.
He's a great kid.
Annalise and I sat across from each other in the bubbling hot tub, 20 feet away from the pool. A bunch of kids had been organizing a water volleyball game when we came outside, and they'd asked Lucas to join in. So we'd gotten a reprieve from getting into the cold piss bucket and came to soak in the designated over 18 hot tub. Lights lit up the pool area, so we could still keep an eye out from a distance, yet we were far enough away to not look like we were babysitting him. Yeah, despite the whack job who's raising him, he's turned out to be a really good kid. He's got his head screwed on pretty well.
He really looks up to you.
The hot tub had been helping to relax my muscles, but that comment made them tense again. Yeah. Annalise went quiet, and I had an idea what she was pondering.
Do you mind me asking how old he was when his mom died?
He was 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she sick?
I held her gaze. Car accident. Her eyes dropped to my torso. She was smart enough to put 2 and 2 together, and I knew she was debating asking. It was the last thing I wanted to talk about. I stood. It's getting late. Why don't I grab us some towels? Lucas was snoring by the time I got out of the shower. The day had been pretty great, but the mention of the accident had brought my head down. I sat on the bed across from Lucas, watching him sleep. He looked just like his mother now. It was hard to imagine that in only a few more years he'd be the same age she was when she'd given birth to him, which made me think I needed to have a talk about condoms and birth control with him. Fanny wasn't going to do it. Hell, I'd had the talk with her daughter, too. A lot of good that did. My phone vibrated on the end table, so I swiped to check my messages. Annalise,
sorry if I was being nosy. You got quiet after I asked about his mom. I didn't mean to upset you.
I attempted to put her mind at ease. Bennett, you didn't. Just tired. The long day must have caught up to me. I doubted she'd bought it, but at least she wouldn't push. Annalise.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me tag along today. I had a great time. Good night.
Bennett. Good night. I tossed my phone back on the end table. In the 8 years since that night, I had never spoken to anyone about the accident, except for the cops and the lawyers. Not even the shrink my mother had sent me to could pry that vault open. For a long time, I just figured the less I thought about it, the easier it would be to move on. Until recently. Sophie's journals had stirred up a lot of things inside me. I was starting to wonder if keeping it in had let me move on at all, or if maybe letting it out might be the only thing to set me free.
Chapter 34. January 1st. Dear me. We're sad. Bennett has been gone 2 months now. He's only a few hours away at UCLA, but it might as well be halfway around the world. We miss him. A lot. He has a new girlfriend. Again. He said this one's a marketing major, too, and they hang out all the time like we used to. We're still dating Ryan Langley, but sometimes when we're kissing him, we think about Bennett. It's really weird. I mean, he's Bennett, right? Our best friend. But we can't seem to stop it. College isn't so great. I thought it would be different, but it feels like just another year of high school when you live at home, only without Bennett here. There's even a bunch of kids in my classes who were in my classes back at RFK High. Everything is the same, yet so different. We got a job at a hair salon answering the phones. The people there are really nice, and it pays pretty good. We're hoping to save money and get our own place. Mom's new boyfriend, Aaron, is a jerk and is always home. This month's poem is dedicated to no one. She glances backward,
afraid to move forward now. Why aren't you here? This letter will self-destruct in 10 minutes. Anonymously, Sophie.
Chapter 35. How bad did I want the job? Annalise had left for her weekly dinner with Madison a few hours ago. Since I had an early morning appointment out of the office tomorrow, and my bed would be empty tonight, I'd stayed extra late to finish things for my full pitch to Star Studios, which was coming up soon. This week had been busy as hell, even though it was only Wednesday, and we still had dinner with Douchebag's sister on Friday. I grabbed the key to Annalise's office from Marina's top drawer to leave some sketches on her desk. At lunch today, she'd mentioned she was stuck coming up with a logo for a kid's magic marker company that was expanding into a line of professional artist markers. An idea had come to me while I worked on shading in a different project, and I thought it might work for her client. Annalise had brought the account with her from Wren, so we weren't in competition. I had no reason not to help. Only when I went to put my drawings on her desk, I found the entire concept for her star pitch laid out there. Storyboards, 3D logo models, and a thick red expanding file folder labeled Research. I stared at the banded folder. There had to be 3 inches of damn research. Way more than I'd done. What could she have in there? Shit that could give her an edge, that's what. I set my drawings on her seat and picked up the folder. The thing had weight. Fuck. I shouldn't. But what if I've missed something? I knew 2 things with absolute certainty. 1, it would be a pretty scummy thing to do. And 2, if the shoe was on the other foot and it were Annalise finding my desk with all this shit, she'd turn around and walk the hell out. But there was no fucking way I could move to Texas. I wouldn't be doing it for myself. I'd be doing it for Lucas. There was an exception for shitty behavior when the end justified the means, right? What the hell could she have in here? Seriously, this thing had to weigh 3 pounds. Maybe there was a brick inside, or a book, a hardcover of Marketing for Dummies. I could at least check that, couldn't I? It might set my mind at ease to know I wasn't missing research. I pulled the red rubber band off the file folder. God, I'm a fucking asshole. Sending it down on the desk again, I stared at it some more. What if this weren't Annalise? She'd said herself that she'd tried to take the person out of the equation when deciding how to act. A 60-year-old married man. I was pretty sure that's who she pretended her competition was. What would I do if I'd found this file of potentially helpful information, only the competition I'd been pitted against was a 60-year-old dude instead of Annalise? I'd like to think figuring out the answer to that question required some debate. But we all know better, right? I'd already be at the copier photocopying the crap out of this file. That, in a nutshell, summarized the difference between me and Annalise. When she walked through a how-would-I-act scenario in her head, she always came out on the right side of what was ethical. I, on the other hand, came out on the right side of what would bring me closer to what I wanted. So what the hell was stopping me? Annalise and her goddamned ethical bullshit had me feeling guilty. Groaning, I picked up the file folder, wrapped the rubber band back around it, and set it where I'd found it. I swiped my drawings from her chair, pulled the door shut behind me, and then squatted down to slip the artwork under the closed office door. She'd find them in the morning without ever knowing I'd been inside. I grumbled my way back to Marina's desk to replace the key. While I was there, I figured I'd leave her a note that I'd be out tomorrow morning since my appointment had originally been in the afternoon. I found a pen and looked around for something to write on. Next to her phone was one of those message pads that had 3 little carbon copy tear-off message slips on each sheet, so I grabbed that and started to write on the bottom one. But the carbon that remained from the message above caught my attention because it had Annalise's name on it. Date, 6-1. Time, 11.05 a.m. 4, Annalise. Caller, Andrew Marks. Phone, 415-555-0028. Message. He's returning your call. Call anytime. Is something wrong? Annalise leaned her hip against the counter in the break room. Not a damn thing, I said, pouring my 2nd cup of coffee. She crossed her arms over her chest. So just a general piss-poor mood, then? It's been a busy week.
I know.
She looked toward the door and lowered her voice. That's why I thought I'd be nice and make you dinner at my place last night. Only you didn't answer my text, and this morning when I saw you in the hall, you looked like you might bite me.
I picked up my mug. You're the one who wanted to make sure we were discreet in the office. Should I have stopped to feel you up? She squinted.
Whatever. Don't forget dinner is at 6 tonight with Lauren and Trent at La Maison.
I scoffed. Can't wait. Annalise rightly read into my sarcasm. She sighed and turned to walk out of the break room. Near the door, she stopped and turned back.
Thank you for the sketches, by the way. They were exactly what I needed and couldn't come up with.
I looked up from my mug and our eyes caught. Fuck it. I went into your office to put them on your desk last night. I saw it was covered with your work on the Star campaign, so I left and slipped it under your door. She cocked her head to the side and searched my face.
You didn't look at anything.
After I'd found the message from her ex, I'd contemplated going back in, but I fucking couldn't. Wussy. I shook my head. Her eyes lost focus for a minute, and I got the distinct feeling random shit was spinning around in her head as she tried to click together the pieces of some puzzle. She zoned in on me again.
Are you annoyed with yourself that you didn't rummage through my things?
I folded my arms across my chest. I asked myself if I would have walked out if it were someone other than you.
And?
I wouldn't have. Annalise's eyes softened.
Well, thank you. Is that why you're all grumpy? Because you didn't treat me like the enemy?
It wasn't, until I went to put back the key in Marina's drawer and caught a message she'd left you that someone had called you back. Her face fell.
It's not what you think.
So you know what I'm thinking now.
When I called Lauren the other day to confirm dinner for tonight, she told me Andrew was planning on joining us. I called him to ask that he didn't. That's why he called me back.
I walked toward the break room door. Whatever. Annalise exhaled loudly.
Next time, just come to me if something's bothering you.
I stopped in the doorway where she stood. Or maybe next time I'll grow some balls and gain an edge on the competition.
Sorry about that. I figured those two needed a few minutes alone. My wife likes to meddle in shit where her nose doesn't belong, but I'm a beaten-down man, so I don't fight it.
Trent Becker held up his glass and tipped it to me.
My answer is always, yes, dear, and a good scotch.
I raised my glass. Sounds good to me. Doesn't even matter what the question is. Annalise and I had arrived at the restaurant from the office at the same time. Lauren and her husband showed a few minutes later. Since the hostess said our table wasn't ready yet, Trent had asked me to go to the bar and get drinks, while the ladies immediately dove into talking.
Lauren and Annalise have a personal history.
I sipped and looked over the rim of my glass at Trent. Andrew, I know. Trent raised his brows.
So she's told you?
She has.
He nodded. Makes sense, especially since he's the one who facilitated this get-together.
This was a business meeting. I had to keep my opinions to myself, but with the door open to peek inside, I couldn't resist. Odd timing. Annalise has been working in marketing for years, yet she said you guys had never discussed her pitching for your business. Trent looked around, then leaned in.
Lauren thinks the sun rises and sets on her brother, but between us, I think he's a bit of a pompous, selfish dick.
This time my brows jumped. Maybe this dinner wouldn't be so bad after all. Sounds like you're right from what Annalise has shared, but like you, I'll keep that to myself. I raised my glass and swallow my thoughts down with this scotch. Trent chuckled.
Annalise is great. I'm glad we should be able to throw some business her way. I just hope it doesn't help my dear old brother-in-law worm his way back in. Let him stay with the Swedish stewardess he's been seeing off and on behind her back the last few years.
Shit. Figures. I knew that guy was a douche. 8 years and still no commitment told me he'd been jerking her around. I just hadn't known the reason.
What a dumb fuck.
The bartender brought two glasses of wine, and Trent and I argued over who paid the tab.